Text 69. Don DeLillo, down the tower.
Paper was flying down the hallway, rattling in a wind that seemed to wash down from above. There were dead, faintly seen, in offices to either side. He climbed out over a fallen wall and made his way slowly toward the voices. In the stairwell, in near dark, a woman carried a small tricycle tight to her chest, a thing for a 3-year-old, handlebars framing her ribs. They walked down, thousands, and he was in there with them. He walked in a long sleep, one step, and then the next. There was water running somewhere, and voices in an odd distance, coming from another stairwell or an elevator bank, out in the dark somewhere. It was hot and crowded, and the pain in his face seemed to shrink his head. He thought his eyes and mouth were sinking into his skin. Things came back to him in hazy visions, like half an eye staring. These were moments he'd lost as they were happening, and he had to stop walking in order to stop seeing them. He stood, looking into nothing. The woman with the tricycle alongside spoke to him, going past. He smelled something dismal and understood it was him. Things sticking to his skin, dust particles, smoke, some kind of oily grit on his face and hands mixing with the body slop, paste-like with the blood and saliva and cold sweat. And it was himself he smelled. And Rumsey. The size of it. The sheer physical dimensions. And he saw himself in it. The mass and scale, and the way the thing swayed, the slow and ghostly lean. Someone took his arm and led him forward for a few steps, and then he walked on his own in his sleep, and for an instant he saw it again, going past the window, and this time he thought it was Rumsey. He confused it with Rumsey, the man falling sideways, arm out and up, like pointed up, like why am I here instead of there? They had to wait at times, long, stalled moments, and he looked straight ahead. When the line moved again, he took a step down, and then another. They talked to him several times. Different people. And when this happened, he closed his eyes, maybe because it meant he didn't have to reply. There was a man on the landing ahead, old man, smallish, sitting in shadow, knees up, resting. Some people spoke, and he nodded his head okay. He waved them on, nodding. There was a woman's shoe nearby, upside down. There was a briefcase on its side, and the man had to lean to reach it. He extended a hand and pushed it with some effort toward the advancing line. He said, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. She fell and left it." People didn't hear this, or retain it, or want to, and they moved past. Keith moved past, the line beginning to wind down toward an area of some light. It did not seem forever to him, the passage down. He had no sense of pace or rate. There was a glow stripe on the stairs that he hadn't seen before. and someone praying back in the line somewhere in Spanish. A man came up, moving quickly in a hard hat, and they cleared a space. And then there were firemen in full bulk, and they cleared a space. Rumsey was the one in the chair. He understood that now. He had set him back down in the chair. And they would find him and bring him down. And others. There were voices up behind him, back on the stairs, one and then another in near echo, fugue voices, song voices in the rhythms of natural speech. This goes down, this goes down, pass it down. He stopped again, second time or third, and people pushed around him and looked at him and told him to move. A woman took his arm to help, and he didn't move, and she went on. Pass it down. This goes down. This goes down. The briefcase came down and around the stairwell, hand to hand. Somebody left this. Somebody lost this. This goes down. And he stood looking straight ahead, and when the briefcase came to him, he reached his right hand across his body to take it blankly, and then started down the stairs again. There were long waits, and others not so long, and in time they were led down to the concourse level, beneath the plaza, and they moved past empty shops, locked shops, and they were running now, some of them, with water pouring in from somewhere. They came out onto the street, looking back, both towers burning. And soon they heard a high, drumming rumble and saw smoke rolling down from the top of one tower, billowing out and down methodically, floor to floor, and the tower falling, the south tower diving into the smoke, and they were running again. The wind blast sent people to the ground. A thunderhead of smoke and ash came moving toward them. The light drained dead away. Bright day gone. They ran and fell and tried to get up. Men with toweled heads, a woman blinded by debris, a woman calling someone's name. The only light was vestigial now. The light of what comes after. Carried in the residue of smashed matter, in the ash ruins of what was various and human, hovering in the air above. He took one step, and then the next, smoke blowing over him. He felt rubble underfoot, and there was motion everywhere, people running, things flying past. He walked by the Easy Park sign, the breakfast special, and three suits cheap. And they went running past, losing shoes and money. He saw a woman with her hand in the air, like running to catch a bus. He went past a line of fire trucks, and they stood empty now, headlights flashing. He could not find himself in the things he saw and heard. Two men ran by with a stretcher, someone face down, smoke seeping out of his hair and clothes. He watched them move into the stunned distance. That's where everything was, all around him, falling away, street signs, people, things he could not name. Then he saw a shirt come down, out of the sky. He walked and saw it fall, arms waving like nothing in this life.